The passage reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Amen. The senior pastor will deliver the message with the title, True Obedience.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 8,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending a service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday School, GCN, and Mammin TV viewing audiences. Today is the Palm Sunday. Let us imagine we are in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Jesus and his disciples had come close to Jerusalem. They had reached Bethphage and Bethany, and Jesus sent two of his disciples to the village opposite them. They brought the colt according to what Jesus had said. Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem on that colt, and the people walked in front of him, while some others were following him from behind as though they were escorting him. Many people spread their clothes on the road, while some of them put tree branches on the road. People of various ages came out with palm branches, cheering, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Palm Sunday is the day to commemorate this event. But this Jesus who entered Jerusalem with the cheering of the people was crucified just 5 days after that, and he resurrected on the third day of his burial. That is why the following Sunday after Palm Sunday is Easter, and that whole week from Palm Sunday is Passion Week. So at least on Friday, it's better to fast. Some of you maybe want just one meal or two meals or for the whole day on Friday. Maybe at least one or two meals on Friday. Now let us briefly mention the first steps of Jesus during this Passion Week. I hope you will think of the sufferings of Jesus and spend this week with more godliness. Here you should keep one thing in mind. It is that the concept of time in Israel at that time is a little different from that of today. In Israel, a new day began after sunset. But today, let me explain it in the concept of our time for your better understanding. On the first day, which was the Sunday, as I mentioned, Jesus entered Jerusalem with the cheers of the people. On Monday, the next day, Jesus purified the Jerusalem temple. He said, "My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves," and drove away the merchants and money exchangers from the temple. On Tuesday, the people of the high priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people came to Jesus and asked him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" They asked Jesus many questions to find fault in him. But nobody could say anything more as Jesus answered with wisdom and with authority over his words. After this incident, the high priests and those who stood against Jesus wanted to kill him even more. On Wednesday, Jesus taught the word in the temple, and in the evening he went to take a rest in Bethany. Here, Mary came with a very costly oil of spikenard and poured on Jesus' head. This Mary is different from Mary Magdalene. She is the sister of Lazarus, who was revived. At that time, Judas Iscariot rebuked Mary, saying, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." Then Jesus said in Mark 14:8, "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial and told them to let her act be known widely." She has done what she could because the nard was very expensive. After this, Judas Iscariot went to the high priests and promised them to hand over Jesus. On Thursday evening, Jesus had the Passover dinner in the city of Jerusalem with his disciples. It was at this time when he washed the feet of his disciples. He also told them that it was Judas Iscariot who would betray him. After the dinner, he went to Gethsemane on Mount of Olives to pray. He prayed so earnestly with all his strength to fulfill his duty that his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. At this time, the disciples who were praying near him had fallen asleep. Jesus woke them up and advised them two times, saying, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." But the disciples couldn't overcome their tiredness and kept on dozing off. When Jesus came to wake them up the third time, it was close to midnight on Thursday. At this moment, Judas Iscariot appeared with many of the high priests. Finally, when Jesus was arrested, all his disciples ran away. During the time that Jesus was arrested by the men of the high priest and taken to Annas the high priest, it passed midnight and became Friday. Jesus was questioned in the courtyard of Annas the high priest and was sent to Caiaphas the high priest. When the day broke, the high priests and scribes led him into their council. In the council, they discussed legal, religious, and civilian matters. It was like the high court for the people. Those who wanted to kill Jesus got many false witnesses to fabricate an excuse to accuse him. But the words of the witnesses did not match one another, and they couldn't find any fault. Still, they condemned Jesus as a criminal to be crucified. They indicted him and charged him with profaning God and defiling the temple. He's the one who considered the temple most holy of all, but they accused him of defiling the temple. They bound Jesus and accused him before Pilate the governor. Nevertheless, even Pilate could not find any fault in him. So Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, who was ruling over Galilee, which was Jesus' hometown. But Herod sent Jesus back to Pilate again. Finally, Pilate could not refuse the strong demands of the people and gave the order to crucify Jesus. All these things happened in such a short time, from the dawn to morning on Friday. In case of 516, it was also in Korea, it was also very quick. Jesus was crucified on Golgotha at around 9 a.m. and breathed his last at around 3 p.m. And on the third day of his burial, he broke the authority of death and resurrected. Based on what you have heard so far, I suggest that you read the four Gospels during his Passion Week. I believe you will feel the footsteps of Jesus more vividly. Friday, all our service, you'll have the Easter play, and please attend it and feel the emotions. Just keep in mind that sometimes the Bible doesn't write things in chronological order. I hope you will feel the grace of love of Jesus, grace and love of Jesus following each of the footsteps of Jesus during this week. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in verses 6 and 7 of today's passage, it is written, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus, who is God in origin and the Son of God, came down to this earth in a human body. He was crucified, having no sin at all. Through this, countless souls who were bound to going the way of death were saved and reached salvation. It was possible because of the obedience of Jesus. Concerning this Jesus, who obeyed until his death, Philippians 2:8 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Today, God is looking for true men of God who can obey this way. He fulfills His providence through them. Today, I am speaking to you about how to become men of God who fulfill God's providence under the title, True Obedience. True obedience is to obey as God the Father desires of us. Namely, it is the obedience in accordance with God's will. For example, no matter how much work a servant has done, it is useless if it's not what the master wants. True obedience is only when we work according to the will of the master. To truly obey God, we first have to clearly understand exactly what God the Father wants. In order to do this, we have to be united in one heart with God. To the extent we are united with God in one, we can understand the heart of God. Therefore, we can truly obey only when our heart is one with the heart of God. In other words, we can truly obey only when we go into the Holy Spirit. Then, does that mean we cannot truly obey until we go into the Holy Spirit? It doesn't. I hope you will listen to today's message carefully and understand what you have to do to obey God truly. Brothers and sisters, for you to obey truly, you can love God and obey from the depth of your heart. If you obey feeling forced or pressured by somebody or from a sense of duty or within your own self-righteousness, it is not true obedience. Jesus showed us true obedience. He did not just obey only because it was His duty. Jesus' way was a way of hardship and deprivation. He had to suffer unimaginable pains. Nevertheless, he rejoiced because he loved God wholeheartedly. Do you want to obey like Jesus did? But sometimes you find you cannot really do it. You want to obey with joy and willingness of heart, but sometimes you have no joy even when you obey. Sometimes you obey feeling reluctant. Sometimes you obey with joy, but later you realize that you actually disobeyed. God's Word tells us to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things. And surprisingly, many people cannot do this. Even since I was a new believer, I've been doing so. It's better to rejoice always. It's good. And it's the word of God. And God doesn't just tell us to rejoice all the unconditionally. He gives us the conditions, the situations, so that we can rejoice. Only when we rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things, we can go into spirit quickly and have true obedience. This kind of situation can be frustrating, but you cannot really show true obedience just with the desire to obey. First, you have to change your heart into the kind of heart that God desires. Only then can you really obey God's will. Then how can we really show true obedience? In order to obey truly, first of all, we must not have our ego or self, but only the Father in us. All those who love God would want to obey God. But when we see the result of the situations, sometimes they have disobeyed. It's because they have their self in them. It means when they do a certain work, they use their own thoughts, wisdom, and methods. They insist on what they think is right. Thus, they think they're obeying the word of God, but they just do what they want when they actually do the work. But then, they say they still obeyed God's will, giving excuses and saying they've done this because of this and they've done that because of that. They think they did those things in obedience to God's word, but it is a wrong idea. Because they do not either understand or realize the heart of God the Father, they say they followed the heart and intention of God, even after they do things in their own way. And if the results are not satisfactory, or if they are not acknowledged, they begin to blame others. Now, they listen to so many sermons and they know that they have to destroy their ego and self and their self-centered righteousness, but why do they not realize themselves? It's because they want to be comfortable in thinking, I have faith, I am a member of this church that is loved by God, and I am fulfilling my duties. I am obeying the will of the Father God. But this kind of obedience is only self-centered obedience. It's not true obedience in the sight of God. But Jesus did not have any self or ego. He only had the Father in Him. So He only followed the intention of the Father, not His own will. He always prayed and sought the will of God during His public ministry. He obeyed in such a way that every single thing was in perfect coherence with the Word of God in His ministry. For example, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 prophesied about the entering of Jesus into Jerusalem. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus acted exactly according to what is said to fulfill the prophecy. Matthew chapter 21 verses 2 to 3 says, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them. The following verses 6 and 7 says, The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and He sat on the coats. But what if the disciples had thought, How can the owner just give it to us without any price? Or, what if the disciples had thought, what if they used their own thoughts thinking, How can we let our great master Jesus ride on a colt? Then they might have said, Master, we'll go get a good horse for you. Then, the providence and will of God wouldn't have been fulfilled. Jesus did not come to be lifted like the king of the earth. He's the king who came to serve in obedience to God's will. He showed it by riding on a colt. Jesus would have been more pleased if his disciples understood this, but anyway, they obeyed what Jesus told them. Now Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 explains why Jesus acted this way. It writes, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet." It was already written in the Old Testament, and to fulfill this, Jesus acted this way, one by one. In order to fulfill the prophecies written by God, Jesus acted this way. How is it with you and me? Before the opening of this church, while I was doing the 40-day fasting, there were many words of God given to me, and some things I proclaimed them during the sermons, and many of you know. And some of the things, you think it'll be fulfilled soon, but it even takes 10 years or 20 years. And all the words of God, I prayed for them only with faith, and I harbored them in my heart, and I never forgot any of them. If God said, it'll be done, accomplish this, then I harbored them in my heart, and I believed it would be fulfilled, and I prayed for them. And then as you see, all things are fulfilled one by one. Some things more quickly, it seems they will be fulfilled more quickly, but a little later. So some things maybe after 10 years, or maybe after 15 years, or even 20 years, or as long as even 25 years, 27 years, some things are fulfilled in this way. And we have been fulfilling all these things until now. And because God has given His word, we have harbored them, believed them, and prayed until they were fulfilled. And some things are such great blessings. Only after, so sometimes I had to change the prayer. For example, at the time of in the early 80s, I was praying in Gwangju Mountain Prayer Mountain, and I liked that prayer mountain very much. I wanted to buy it later, so I prayed that to give the prayer mountain to us, prayer center to us. So I prayed for it, but after 1 year or 2 years, that prayer became kind of meaningless, because that prayer center was not good enough for us. The church grew up so much, and that prayer center couldn't accommodate our members, so I had to stop praying for that. At the time of the opening, right after the opening, there was a police station, and we had the company, Nongshim, the food company. So it was a building with the red bricks, and I thought we wanted to buy it. But soon, in 1985, when we moved to the new building, that prayer became useless. And that building with red bricks, that wouldn't be able to accommodate us. So I had to stop praying for that. But we have to pray for even greater things. So we came to the seminary, right, which is a seminary right now. But when we were in the seminary, we wanted to have the post office building. We wanted to have it, but we prayed for it for some time. But soon, after one revival meeting, and it was also too small for us. So this, because the church growth and church revival is so fast, we had to change the prayers that way. And after we went into the currently the seminary building, there was no more building to go in, and God wanted us to go into Brahme area, but because of lack of faith, we had to come to the old sanctuary, which is demolished now. So then we bought this new sanctuary also, and we had both the old sanctuary and new sanctuary for many years. And this place is full also. And now we have to go to the original place that God told us. And the Canaan Sanctuary, I believe it will be the biggest sanctuary in the world, I'm sure. Because the thoughts of man are different. It said, according to some statistics, it says the biggest single place that can hold, single sanctuary, they can hold the greatest number of people is 50,000, and next is about 40,000. And for us, in one building, we'll build 70,000, 80,000. Because I believe the Word of God as it is, even though it is not seen, and even after praying for 5 years or 10 years, I prayed until the end with faith, and things were fulfilled one by one. I prayed for Nisio Kesra and received the answer after several years. And all these things, one by one. If God said, I'll give you and accomplish it, then fulfill it, then I prayed for them, and all things were fulfilled one by one. And right now, we're doing the mission in Israel, and we have Canaan Sanctuary and Grand Sanctuary left. So, as explained above, Jesus only obeyed the will of God and fulfilled the providence of the salvation of the cross without a single error. Brothers and sisters, in order to obey, in order to have no self but only God in us, we have to deny ourselves, and our flesh has to be put to death. True obedience is not something very difficult to achieve if we really want to demolish ourselves. To show true obedience, secondly, we must not think about the conditions. Those who do so will always give excuses saying, well, this seems possible, but that seems impossible. Then they obey when it's beneficial for them, and they don't obey when it's not. In the Friday online service, the elders in the police officers' mission, the testimonies were very interesting and gracious, and one of them, in his Christian life, he wanted to think about each of the matter. Why is this? I don't understand. Because he had a lot of theories and knowledge. And that way, no matter how long you are a Christian, you cannot go into spirit. But after coming to this church, at the moment he was reading the message of the cross, all his thoughts were broken down. He had all the answers. He got all the answers about all his questions that he had before. And I hear this kind of testimony so many times all around the world. After listening to the message of the cross, they clearly understand about Jesus Christ, and also many answers, many questions about the Bible are answered. So only after your thoughts and theories are broken down, you can really obey. So you can have, if you can truly obey, then it'll be blessing itself. If God commands anything, I don't have any thinking. When He commands things, there are many things that are just impossible. But I harbor them and pray for them, and all those things are fulfilled one by one, and even the mission, world evangelism, we have been fulfilling it, and we'll fulfill it even more greatly. And the domestic mission also, after mission in Israel is over, we'll do it, and with the power of God. And some things are easy. But there are some other things too. For example, God tells me to look up to the sky when you go to the mountain prayers, and watch how the gate of heaven is open, and watch the movement of the clouds and the direction of the winds, and I just obey. And as I obey, sometimes the gate of heaven is not opened. I look up to the sky for the whole week, even in hot summer. I look up to the sky, but sometimes the gate of heaven is not opened. Then I think, I feel like something is not right. Why is it my effort is not good enough or something? I think to myself, and I try to put the blame on myself. But because God tells me to watch the clouds and winds and everything, so I, but after obeying, I came to learn many things. When I was looking up to the sky, the direction of the winds are not just one side. In the same sky, according to the height, there I saw winds blowing at four directions, from east, from south to east, and from west to the north, and I saw the winds blow into four directions, because I can see them because of the flow of the movements of the clouds. So according to the height, the winds blow in different directions. Sometimes it blows from into two directions, or and also those clouds appearing and disappearing, we could see them after God told us to look at the clouds. So through these, we can understand that there is a spiritual realm, and there are gates leading to the spiritual realm. Once I didn't come down from the mountain because God told me to pray like Jesus until my sweat becomes like drops of blood. Of course, I told you beforehand to go up to the mountain prayer. So I was kind of nervous during that week. So I thought I could pray like I had to pray like Jesus until my sweat became drops of blood. I was also filled with inspiration and emotions, and I really wanted to do it. And from early morning, I didn't really want to sleep even. From the morning, I began to pray. And until evening, I prayed. Each day, I prayed. I tried all my best with all my effort and strength, and like trying to do like Jesus did. But it wasn't summer, but I could still sweat, but it didn't turn into drops of blood. So how much strength and effort did Jesus put in this prayer? So I have to do the same, and I really tried all my best with all my effort and all my strength, but the sweat didn't turn into blood. I could only sweat. So I spent 7 or 8 days like that and came down. But I wasn't really happy because I couldn't really pray until my sweat became drops of blood. I tried my best, but it didn't turn into drops of blood. So I kind of felt I couldn't fulfill what God told me. But Word of God next week is telling me, you did it. You only obeyed and you prayed until your sweat became drops of blood. It didn't turn physically into drops of blood, but you really, you did pray that way and God accepted all your prayers. And all these prayers, see how all these prayers will be shown as actual works. So I was comforted and I was strengthened, encouraged. Because my sweat didn't physically become drops of blood, but because I tried so hard, and God was satisfied with that, and He told me to watch how my prayer would become actual works in the future. So it was done that way. And so I don't have to think about anything. I don't have to count anything. Oh, in the hot summer day, my face will get burned when I look up to the sky. No, I don't have to think about anything like this. Then they obey when it's beneficial for them, and they don't obey when it's not. Sometimes, some church members, they don't obey even very easy things. Sometimes I say, if you just obey 100%, I can make you so rich if you can obey. And when I say something like this, men's mission members may say, oh, I think I can obey if he tells me. But since the opening of the church until now, I've given the instructions to many people. If I felt somebody could obey, I gave the instructions, but they couldn't obey because they had their own thoughts. They had their own theories and knowledge, so they didn't really obey. The year before, I proclaimed blessing for one son. I said I would make him rich. But also he wanted it, and I taught him what to do. Do this, do this, and do that. And whenever he came to receive prayer, I instructed him, do this and do that. Do not go away from this right path. And do this and do that. Then God will work. I taught him. But finally, he couldn't obey. And the secretaries, and they all know it. I taught him many times when everybody was present. Keep the law. Do not have any selfish desires. Walk the right way. And just do this as I taught, as you are taught. I gave him every detailed instruction, but he couldn't obey. After all, he did it with his own way, with his calculation. Of course, he said, yes, amen, I'll follow your instructions. But then later, he used his own knowledge and theory, so he couldn't obey a single thing. So I was very sad. It's such an easy thing, actually. I actually put it into his hand, put it into his mouth, but he couldn't do it. So we all have to check ourselves. When God commands something, are we really obeying it or not? I give you many instructions, many advice, and I teach you the will of God, so many things, but many of you do not really obey. They choose what is the best for them according to their desires and self-centered motives, and their attitudes can change anytime. They obey when it's beneficial for them, and they don't obey when it's not. But true obedience is not about conditions. You don't think of the circumstances or the reality of facts, nor give any excuses. You only think of what the will of God is. You will say yes and amen in any kind of situation, only if it is the will of God the Father. In Matthew chapter 19, we read about a rich young man. He came before Jesus and asked him, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? But he couldn't hear what he wanted to hear. Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Then he says, "But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving." He didn't say, "Yes, amen," but he went grieving. He came before Jesus with good intentions, but he was only willing to obey up to his own limits. Therefore, he finally followed his own benefit when the way went beyond his limit. He couldn't show true obedience. If men do not have any selfish motives or desires, God can bless us so much. But it's very difficult to find such a person. I said to you during the Lunar New Year services, I will give all the Lunar New Year offerings, my birthday offerings to God, all of them. This is for this year. This time I didn't promise to you, but you tried your best to give to God. And I'm thankful, and you will receive 30, 60, 100 times more. And you will realize what the wall of sin is, and you will receive a comprehensive blessings. You tried your best, and I collected all those things, and I gave them to God. And the church also gave me some offering, and I just gave them all as thanks offerings. And whatever you offered to me, I just collected everything and I just gave to God. So that you will receive more blessings. I collected all those things, prayed for blessings on them, and I gave to them, gave them to God again so it can be spent for God's kingdom. So it was quite a bit of amount. I don't have any lingering attachment to any amount of money. I just care for the kingdom of God being fulfilled, being accomplished. The kingdom of God is my joy and happiness. That is why I can do it. And that is also a true blessing that you can receive. If he had really wanted to obey, he would have obeyed until the end with joy, even if the answer was different than what he had expected. Then now, I hope you will reflect yourself upon this. Is your obedience for your fame, authority, or any other self-centered results? Can you really obey until the end in any kind of situation if it's the will of God the Father? Aren't you saying yes only to what agrees with your idea and what is beneficial for you? Jesus did not seek any glory of his own. He only obeyed for the glory of the Father. That is why he forsook the glorious heavenly throne and was killed on this earth on the cross, having been treated like a heinous criminal. Jesus, the Son of God, obeyed like this. And how can we creatures give excuses? What can we not obey? In order to show true obedience, third, we have to have the fruit of spiritual love. In other words, it means we have to love with spiritual love. Even in this world, the mother sacrifices her life to save her child who is in danger. They even jump into the flames or into the water to save their child. How can they do that? It's because they love their child. Likewise, if you truly love, then neither water nor fire would matter to us. We would be able to just sacrifice our lives. When Jesus was hung on the cross, his disciples were scared and ran away, but the women, including Mary Magdalene, stayed with him until the end, for they loved him so much. This is truly spiritual love. Suppose you love God and the Lord this much. If you have this kind of spiritual love in you, you can achieve the first and second points of today's sermon. God desires of you the obedience that comes out from spiritual love. We cannot gain faith without love. And without love, we cannot have hope to do the will of God. Jesus loved the Father so much. And so he believed the Father and hoped for the glorious days during which he would enjoy the heavenly kingdom with the Father. If you too love God truly, you will believe in God the Father. You will hope for the days that you will have in the heavenly kingdom. Then you can obey anything. You can even give your life. The Apostle Paul had such a great love for the Lord that he said in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Even when these things come in, we should never change our love for the Christ. But just by small things, they stay away from the Lord, they leave the church. Just as it is written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just imagine you have this kind of love in you. Then you would be able to obey anything. True obedience comes out from deep spiritual love. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the cross for God's children can mean many things, including faith, forgiveness, love, sacrifice, and salvation. And the cross is also a symbol of obedience. The ministry of Jesus, which is the redemption of the mankind, was completed by Jesus' obedience to God's will. Through the true obedience of Jesus, the way of salvation was opened and the providence of God was fulfilled. God is still looking for those of you who can really and truly obey to fulfill His providence. Now, which one of you is willing and able to be first to raise your hand? I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who showed us the example of true obedience to us, that all of you will be able to say, "Amen, here I am." If you have true obedience and go into Spirit and Holy Spirit quickly, then there will be many handkerchief crusades, and I hope many of you will be able to speak. God says, even though you are not just you're not pastors, even though you're just layman members, just leaders, if you can really obey and if you have the power, God will send you for the handkerchief crusades. So many of you will go for a handkerchief crusade. Even right now, there are so many requests from other countries asking for handkerchief crusades, but we can respond to them all. And many of you have to come forth as also after we go into Canaan Sanctuary, we'll be so much richer. Our church will have more financial resources. So those of you who have the dreams, please, you shouldn't say, "Oh, please send me." But if you just go into Spirit and Holy Spirit, God can use you to the fullest. Only then, that is the time when God can use you completely and fully and freely. So I hope many of you will be God's instruments this way. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become faith and life and fill them with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And on this, during this Passion Week, let us clearly understand and think about why Jesus had to suffer, and let us spend this week with thanks for the love of the Lord and the Father. And because our Lord obeyed completely, He took the cross for us. Let us resemble this Lord and obey fully, to the fullest extent. Lord, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick, and please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah. Father God, lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending time and space. Bless all those working in the service through satellite in all churches and branch churches, and all those children of God who are attending the service through internet all over the world, all GCN viewers and all Manmin TV viewers, and also there are prayer requests from other countries. Father, lay your hands on the photos and prayer requests. Pastor Sanghae Kim from India, Im Kong Naken has cancer. Father, burn it with the fire of the Holy Spirit, even to the root. And there will be general elections in India in April and May. Let many good people be elected so that it'll be the ministry can be helped. And missionary Patrick of Mongolia will have the Korean and computer classes for the growth of faith of the new believers and for more evangelism. Be with them. And all Carl Holslund of Sweden want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and confess with faith and heal the sleeplessness and stomach ache of his son Marcus, and Martha Lewis of Peru. Let her come back to the Lord. Leoncio Atoche, diabetes and heart disease. Hector was asking for the prayer for his wife for the uterus problem and for the blessing of conception. Ye Chui Moi of Malaysia, epilepsy, and let the cord of idolatry of her parents be broken down. Huang Yongji, let there be a Mamin Branch Church in Malaysia, and for the good business and a disease on his hand. And Lu Kai Chung is praying for Malaysian churches to be united as one, and also for a new sanctuary. Sun Mei Jun from Singapore, she wants to be a married couple that is right according to the will of God. And from neighboring country, there are many prayer requests. We pastor's conference and handkerchief crusade in a certain place from April 6th to 12th, and for the security and prosperity and proceedings, and give the power to the speakers, and let there be many signs and wonders through the handkerchiefs. And branch church in neighboring country for the month of April, they want to evangelize more people and have the 2 times more revival. Wilulu, the hepatitis B, and Zhang Win, hepatitis B, Chen Hoping. There's a tumor in the brain. Heal it with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn it with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lin Tenbo is addicted to internet games and there's a habit of stealing. Heal him of all these addictions. Wang Chun-Lu, schizophrenia, and let him no more worship idols. Oh Yong-Wen has Doolittle syndrome, which is shaking heads and blinking of eyes. healing of this syndrome, and Han So Ching, broken, has a broken pelvis on the right, broken right pelvis, and lower body paralysis because of that. Heal him with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wu Xinyi, cold, and Yang Zhongyi was to grow up in height more. Jin Lanfeng was to repent of abortion that she did before. Shi Fu Yin is losing hair and also insomnia. Wang Jinhua, and acne on the face. Li Wen Qing, high blood pressure, irregular heartbeat, half body paralysis. Yang Ya Chun, heart disease. Li Xin, and innate skin disease. Li Jia, schizophrenia. Zhang Xiaowen, a family evangelization for Zhang Bowo, for the faith to grow. Yu Zhenzhen, for better faith and blessing business. And Yu Zhang Wen, for better studies. Yu Ah Sing, Alzheimer. Zhang Wei Yong, and Din Chun Shang, the innate lower vision, lower sight power. Dang Okunyan has convulsions on the right eye. Sha Chan Ying for his family evangelization. Dai Chao Ye, high blood pressure. Huang Guoqin was to repent of idolatry. Chun Xiaoyuan, arthritis. Our son Chun Xinan for the disease on the fingers, and her husband Chun Qi for diabetes. Gao Zigong, family evangelization, and wants to quit smoking. Tao Harian, loss of sight, broken fingers. Zhang Wonxue, headache, and hernia disc on the neck. Li Wando for a family evangelization and blessing in the business. And Father God, show your work transcending time and space. All, lay your hands on all members from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Let them see well, let them hear well, let them speak well, and heal all the internal diseases. Drive away all diseases, all cancers, third stage, last stage cancers, skin diseases. Go away. Be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes complications, go away. Be cleansed. Light come. Father God, give them prosperity throughout this week. Let them lend but not borrow. Let it become the head, not the tail. And all the overseas missionaries, pastors, and members, and protect them, and keep them, and bless them. And let them make no mistakes while driving. Protect all their vehicles. Thank you for protecting them in all things, and keep them even more, and protect them in all things. Lord, thank you. Give them peace throughout this week, and bless them, and keep them throughout this week. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.